You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford.
Come on your run.
Yes, yes.
Let's go have some fun.
Yes,
we gonna
yes.
love and we gonna drink, dine and dance now.
That's what you call romance.
Now you give me your lips and
jump,
your arms,
jump, jump,
all your love and charm.
Yes,
we gonna
yes.
love, drink and dine and dance. That's
what you call romance.
Now there's no gin, beers, whiskey, sour, cocktails for two. Oh, a glass of beer, a bottle of wine. You know none will you mind, babe.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, mama, let's go
jump,
home.
Jump, jump, jump.
Oh, baby, we had our fun, 'cause we love rain, dine and dance. That's what you call romance. Now, now.
And I shall come and sit beside you. Go and sit upon the grass, and I shall come and sit beside you. Do not mind if I thump you when I am talking to you. I have something important to say. Do not mind if I thump you when I am talking to you. I have something important to say. Go and sit upon the grass, and I shall come and sit beside you. Go and sit upon the grass, and I shall come and sit beside you. When I'm gone, you can feel the lumps upon your head, And think about what I said. And think about what I said. Go and sit upon the grass and feel your lumps.
John Lord and Ian Paice of Deep Purple talk about hard drug use.
I would call it personally a senseless waste of a human body, the only one you have. And to me, it seems it's just throwing it right down the drain.
The saddest thing anybody can do to themselves. You see the end product, and it's not a human being anymore. And who wants not to be a human being?
For darling, I just cannot wait to play you a 78. Soon, under the moon, we'll wind up a tune. I think that you'll appreciate the sound of a 78. Because life is full of scratches, especially these days. And there's a simple tonic in these antiquarian ways. Please, darling, don't laugh at my phonograph. I think you're gonna celebrate when I play you a 78. Fred Astaire will be dancing on air. Please hurry, darling, don't be late. Let me play you a 78. Oh, darling, I just can't wait to play you a 78. Right,
I'm an idiot, and I wish I were dead. And I'm sure you want to kill me, so just this once, go ahead. That was tactless, that was ignorant. I can't imagine how it made you feel. How embarrassing, how demeaning, indeed. What a bad deal. Fa la 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 la. I admit, that was out of bounds, egregious even for me. That was heinous, I should be burning both here and in effigy. I don't know why I act that way, always thinking only of myself. But when I threw you off the Brooklyn Bridge, it sure seemed to help.
Your bottom buck, I'm gonna find her. I'm probably right behind her. Bet your bottom buck. With a little luck, she'll be much kinder. One times I've whined and dined her with a little luck. Happy when two hearts meet, sad when one heart beats feet. Whistle while you work, that was her motto, until she won the lotto. Now she doesn't work. Said I was a jerk for smoking pot-o. She called me crazy Otto. Said I was a jerk. Happy when two hearts meet, sad when one heart beats feet. Bet your bottom buck I'm gonna find her. I'm probably right behind her. Bet your bottom buck. Bet your bottom buck. Bet your bottom buck.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And that wraps up the first portion of this evening's program. It was a wonderful free association. I could have done an entire another set the same size, and we all would have been extremely happy with it. It just would have had fewer Bubbles in the Think Tank favorites, classics, Staple of Stars members, and the like. That's all. But it still would have been great. You know what I want you to do? I want you to think about your future and go to feedthepig.org. Now it's time for us to begin the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days. Oh, just the quick programming note right now while I'm thinking about it. Don't forget, next week I won't be in here. Instead, DJ Ryan D will be here taking care of you and bringing you a much different style of silliness than I bring you, but hey, he also does obits. It's great. I love my bevy of subs. They're a fine bunch, I tell ya. Anyway, time for the radio obituaries. And I got to do what I always do and thank Vince over at themusicsover.com for all of his assistance. The initial radio obituary tonight is for Joe Shea of O'Shea's Old Inn in Dennis, Massachusetts, a huge loss for Cape Cod. Music was a mission for Joe. He was the one and only guy on Cape Cod who insisted on presenting live music absolutely every night all year long. 364 nights a year was his motto. He was justifiably proud of that fact, and he'd done it for more than 15 years, having celebrated O'Shea's 15th anniversary just this past June, where he was proud to announce that it had been over 7,000 shows that he had done in those years. Joe considered it a public service, and it was. It's the initial radio obituary for Joe Shea, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Tables, sweeping floors, just washing all the lines. is looking dirty. I've always seen a scene or two around the party.
Thank you.
Post-initial radio obituary is for Frances Chandler Travis, mother of Bee's Knee and Bubbles in the Think Tank Stable of Stars member Chandler Travis, and also Bee's Knee, or she's the was the grandmother of Bee's Knee, Jeremy Willis from the band Kathy. She grew up in Indiana and Michigan, moved to Buffalo, New York, where she was employed as an advertising director for a large local department store before moving to New York City, where she worked in advertising for Burlington Industries in an office on the fourth floor of the Empire State Building. That's where she met and eventually married Charles Bud Merwin Travis in 1948. With whom she lived happily until his passing last year. In later years, she was an editor and book condenser for Reader's Digest and worked with many well-known authors of the day. In her late 70s, she decided to write her own books, including Finders Keepers, Deadlines, and Under the Influence, all published under the name Elizabeth Travis. And despite the fact she'd never been much of a mystery reader, she published, all of her published books were entries in her own Ben and Carrie Porter mystery series, because she thought mysteries more commercial than most genres. Frances Chandler Travis just passed away at 97. I was lucky enough to get to know her over the past year, and I'm a better person for it. It's the post-initial radio obituary for Frances Travis right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Mr. Irving Berlin often emphasizes sin in a charming way. Mr. Coward, we know, wrote a song or two to show sex was here to stay. Richard Rogers, it's true, took a more romantic view of this sly biological urge, but it really was Cole who contrived to make the whole thing merge. He said that Belgians and Greeks do it, nice young men who sell antiques do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Monkeys, whenever you look, do it. Ali Khan and King Farouk do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Luella Parsons can't quite do it, but she's so highly strung. Marlena might do it, but she looks far too young. Each man out there shooting crap does it. Davy Crockett in that dreadful cap does it. Now let's do it, let's fall in love. All famous writers in swarms do it. Somerset and all the moms do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. The Brontes felt that they must do it. Ernest Hemingway could just do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. E. Allan Poe, ho, 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 did it. But he did it in verse. H. Beecher Stowe did it. But she had to rehearse. Tennessee Williams, self-taught, does it. Kinsey with a deafening report, does it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. In the spring of the year, inhibitions disappear and our hearts beat high. We had better face facts, every gland that overacts has an alibi. For each bird and each bee, each slap happy sappy tree, each temptation that lures us along is just nature, L-man, merely singing us the same old song. In Texas, some of the men do it. Others drill a hole and then do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. West Point cadets forming fours do it. People say all those gabals do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. My kith and kin more or less do it. Every uncle and aunt, but I confess to it, I've one cousin that can't. Teenagers squeezed into jeans do it. Probably we'll live to see machines do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Each baby bat after dark does it. In the desert, Wilbur Clark does it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. We're told that every hormone does it. Victor Borga all alone does it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Each tiny clam you consume does it. Even Liberace, we assume, does it. Let's do it.
I've been married and married, and often I've sighed. I'm never a bridesmaid, I'm always the bride. I never divorced them, I hadn't the heart. Yet remember these sweet words, till death do us part. I married many men, a ton of them, because I was untrue to none of them. Because I bumped off every one of them to keep my love alive. Sir Paul was frail, he looked a wreck to me. At night he was a horse's neck to me. So I performed an appendectomy to keep my love alive. Sir Thomas had insomnia. He couldn't sleep at night. I bought a little arsenic. He's sleeping now all right. Sir Philip played the harp. I cussed the thing. I crowned him with his harp to bust the thing. And now he plays where harps are just the thing to keep my love alive. I thought Sir George had possibilities, but his flirtations made me ill at ease. And when I'm ill at ease, I kill at ease to keep my love alive. Sir Charles came from a sanatorium and yelled for drinks in my emporium. I mixed one drink, he's in memoriam to keep my love alive. Sir Francis was a singing bird, a nightingale, that's why. I tossed him off my balcony to see if he could fly. Sir Raffelstane indulged in fratricide. He killed his dad, and that was patricide. One night I stabbed him by my matricide to keep my love alive. To keep my love alive.
Yes, she has got naughty eyes.
That certain party. You know the one I mean.
Oh, yes, we know the one you mean.
That certain party of mine. Ruby lips, turned up nose, lovely legs, pretty clothes. Oh, what a smarty.
Yes, sir.
Has she got loving ways?
Yes, she has got loving ways.
That certain party of mine.
Arthur, this is your mother. Do you remember me?
Hi. Mom, hi. I was just going to call you. Is that a funny
Arthur,
thing? You know that I had my hand
Arthur,
on the phone to call.
You were supposed to call me last Friday.
Mother, darling, I just didn't have a second and
you
I could cut my throat.
Second.
I was so busy.
Arthur, I sat by that phone.
phone all day Friday.
It was just work, work, work. And
all
darling,
day Friday night.
I kept thinking, I gotta call Mom.
All day Saturday.
Oh, listen, believe
all
me.
All day Sunday. And your father said to me, Phyllis, eat something, you'll faint.
Darling.
I said, no, Harry, no. I don't want my mouth to be full when my son called.
Mom.
You never called.
Mother, I was sending up Vanguard. I didn't have a second.
Well, it's always something, isn't it?
Okay, honey.
You know, Arthur, I'm sure that all the other scientists there have mothers, you know? And I'm sure that they all find time after their breakfast or before their count-off...
Down.
...to pick up a phone and call their mother.
Honey, listen, now you have
you
me on the phone.
You know how I worry.
Well, I do. That's the point.
I read
that's
in the paper how you keep losing them.
Mother! I don't lose them.
Well, I nearly went out of my mind.
Okay, honey,
I thought, what if they're taking it out of his pay?
All right.
Write me a letter.
Right,
is that
it.
So hard?
Okay.
I'm your mother.
Right, mother, look, darling, please,
I'll send
honey,
you
Mom,
stamp.
Dear,
so
please, don't. Just tell
letter.
Me how you
That's
are,
so
Mom.
Hard.
Tell me how you are. How are you?
I'm sick.
I'm sorry to hear it. I really am. What's wrong?
Nothing. You know what it is, honey.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
same thing it's always been.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's
yeah.
my nerves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I went to the doctor.
Yeah.
And he told me
yeah.
right out.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah.
Listen, Mrs. White.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who
yeah.
are you fooling?
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
are a
yeah.
very nervous,
yeah. Yeah.
very
yeah.
high-strung woman.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. Well, God knows that's true. Yeah.
And
yeah.
you cannot stand yeah. the slightest aggravation.
Well, yeah, sure,
well,
yeah.
I
yeah.
said, Doctor,
yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know that,
of course.
I said,
yeah,
but
yeah.
you see, Doctor. I have this son. he is. It's the truth. The boy is not lying. He is. He's very busy. You see, Doctor, he's too busy to pick up a phone and call his mother.
Honey, listen, Mom,
well,
dear,
Arthur,
I want you to tell...
when I
Mom...
said that to him, that man turned pale.
Right, dear, Mom.
He
Mom.
Said, Mrs. White, Mom. I have been a doctor for 35 years,
right.
and I've never heard of a son too busy to call his mother.
Right, Mom, dear,
That's
listen,
That's just what he said to me, Arthur.
I know, honey,
and
I want
And that man is a doctor.
Mom, Mother, please, dear. Will you just tell me, what did the doctor say they're going to do with you?
Well... I may be in the hospital for a while, so,
The hospital?
Yes, the hospital.
Well, but what are they gonna do?
Well, they'll x-ray my nerves.
Mother, why didn't you let me know? All you had to
now,
do
honey,
was drop...
I thought
drop...
you were gonna aggravate
well,
yourself. I wouldn't
can
have brought
I
it up.
Aggravate
doll,
myself
doll. It's a little
over...
tiny... It's nothing,
I...
forget it. How's your hangnail?
All right. Mother...
Yes?
Please, just don't worry.
Arthur... What does that mean? Honey, what does that mean, don't worry?
Nothing, actually. I don't know. I just said the first thing that came into my head. It was a
Arthur,
mistake.
Arthur, listen to me. I'm a mother.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know. I should have realized,
What's
and I
the
didn't.
Use of talking,
no, it was a mistake.
No,
I'm sorry. No,
no you're very young.
Well, I...
Someday, Arthur,
Mom.
You'll get married.
Mom?
And you'll have children of your own.
Mom.
And honey, when you do, I only pray that they make you suffer the way you're making me. That's all I pray, Arthur. That's a mother's prayer.
Okay, Mom, thanks for calling.
You're very sarcastic.
Mother, I'm doing my best now. You called me on the telephone. I tried to explain to you how...
Don't hit me. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that I bothered you. And look, I hope I didn't make you feel bad.
Are you kidding? I feel awful.
Oh, honey, if I could believe that, I'd be the happiest mother in the world.
Oh, Mother, it's true. What do you think? I feel crummy.
Arthur, honey... Why don't you call me, sweetheart? Look, you know, Arthur, I know that I nag you, you know? I mean, listen, I'm a nagging mother. What are you gonna do? No, I'm kidding. Honey, you know, you're my baby. And Arthur, you're the only baby I've got. And honey, no matter how old you get, when you get to be 80 years old, you're gonna be my baby, you know? And when you don't call me sweetheart, I can't help it. I worry. So is that so hard to pick up a phone and call your mommy? Please, baby, please.
Yeah, well, I will, I promise.
You say it, and then
I promise.
Well, then you make your mommy so happy.
Well, if mommy's happy, then he's happy. Okay, right, mommy.
And mommy wants to wish you lots of luck with your rocket.
Thank you, mommy.
And remember, Dad, I love you.
I love you too, mommy.
Goodbye, baby.
Goodbye, mommy. Nani, nuni, nani, nuni.
As a young man courting the girls, I played me a waiting game. If a maid refused me with tossing curls, I'd let the old earth take a couple of whirls while I plied her with tears in place of pearls. And as time came around, she came my way. As time came around, she came. But it's a long, long while from May to December, and the days grow short when you reach September, and the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, and I haven't got time or the waiting game. And the days turn to gold as they grow few. September, November, and these few golden days I'd share with you. These golden days I'd share with you. And the wine dwindles down to a precious brew. September, November, and these few vintage years I'd share with you. These vintage years I'd share with you.
The next radio obituary. Actually, I think it's the penultimate radio obituary, but hold tight. Let's just call it next and we'll see what happens. We'll see. The next radio obituary is for June Foray, the American voice actress best known as the voice of animated characters including Rocky the Flying Squirrel, Cindy Lou Who, Jokey Smurf, and many, many others. She did radio, theatrical shorts, feature films, TV, record albums, video games, talking toys, and other media. I don't even know what that could be. She was a member of ASIFA Hollywood. That was the society devoted to promoting and encouraging animation, and they are credited with the establishment of the Annie Awards. Also, she was instrumental in the creation of the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. June Foray just passed away at 99. I think I'm going to stick with next. It's the next radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Me From the stratosphere to the now and here, from the vaulted blue direct to you, it's Rocky, the flying squirrel.
Hi there. I was born to be airborne and to soar beside the stars on a cold November morn. I was born to be airborne. I was born to be airborne and to roar right up to Mars on a clear November morn. I was born to be airborne. Now some squirrels could live in a tree, not me. And a slaving, and you know what they're saving. That's not for me, for we. I was born to be airborne and to soar beside the stars. Guess it's plain as plain can be. I love flying, for you see, I was born
between the states draws closer. The new president works overtime, poring over papers into the night.
I see where Mark Twain is packing them in Philly.
Will you put that variety down and get your feet off the furniture?
Whoops, sorry.
Where were you raised, in a log cabin?
As a matter of fact...
Now, I got the deal all set to use your name on a little set of toy logs.
Yes?
A highway and a music center.
Wait a minute. How's that going to sound? The Abe Center?
It's going to sound just fine.
All right, dear.
And one more thing.
Yes?
What about the Dred Scott decision?
The what?
Dred Scott? Nice-looking gentleman we interviewed yesterday for the White House butler's job?
Oh, yeah.
The agency says if he isn't right for the butler's job, how about Secretary of Agriculture?
Well, Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Hello, Mary. I hope I'm not intruding.
Why, nonsense, Harriet. I was just leaving. One last thing, Abe.
Yes?
About the beard.
Yes?
You're gonna keep it?
Yes, I am.
Why?
It's a guy thing.
Oh. Well, is it okay if Treasury puts your picture on the penny and the $5 bill?
Fine.
2% of the gross?
Whatever.
Done.
Well, Harriet, I certainly enjoyed reading the manuscript of your novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin, but do you mind a little constructive criticism?
Well, no.
Well, one of the first rules of a successful novel is you gotta get a little conflict into it. Now, you've written a nice romantic story, but to take this fella Simon...
Legree.
Simon Legree, yes. I think he's too mamby-pamby. Can't you make him meaner?
Who would it be mean to?
Well, it could irritate the old gentleman, Uncle...
Tom.
Uncle Tom, right. Legree could drive him out in the snow, rough up his wife and kid, get some shock value going for you. That's what people look for in a novel.
Really?
Trust me, violence and more violence. You'd be surprised what kind of PR this could get for your book.
The emotions of a nation already in turmoil were stirred up anew by the conflict in Mrs. Stowe's violent little book as millions of people rushed to buy Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Ah, Mr. Stanton?
Mr. President, I'm afraid I bring bad news, sir.
Yes?
Fort Sumter has been fired upon. This means war.
Really?
Thanks to that controversial novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yeah, violent book. Terrible. Yes, would you care for some tea?
No, thank you. I think we can safely say the Civil War has definitely started.
The heck you say?
Yes.
All right, you alert the White House press room. I'll notify American Heritage.
One more thing, sir.
Yes?
General Robert E. Lee has tendered his resignation from the United States Army and defected to the South.
Robert E. Lee? That's the last steamboat I name after him.
Mr. Lincoln?
Yes. Oh, you must be the new butler, Dred Scott.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Nice to have you with us.
Where shall I serve the tea, Mr. Lincoln?
How about the Lincoln bedroom?
The Lincoln,
Never mind. Put the tray right down here in the sitting room. That'll be fine.
Trouble, 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 Mr. Lincoln.
I'm afraid so.
Well, sir, you know what I always say?
What do you always say?
Always say, 87 years ago...
How many years is that?
87.
Oh.
Our fathers brought forth a pun...
Hold it. Wait just a minute. Better make a note on this old envelope here. 87?
Seven.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation.
Hold it. You're going too fast.
Conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition...
To the proposition...
That all persons are created equal.
Persons? Why not men are created equal?
Got to be politically correct.
Politically,
Furthermore, this nation cannot exist half slave and half free.
Hold it. Half free and half slave?
Other way around. Half slave and half free.
Better.
Now, we are engaged in a great civil war.
All right, you don't have to rub it in.
Testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived, so dedicated, can long hang in there.
Can long,
You get all that?
Shh, keep your voice down. The walls could have ears, you know.
Don't worry about it. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here.
Yes, go on.
But it will never forget the cigar butts a man's got to clean up in a place like this.
All right, that'll do.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Lincoln.
Wait till I get my pen and envelope. All right, go ahead.
My mom always say to me three things.
Yes?
She say, number one, never stay in wet clothes.
Uh-huh.
Number two, lay off the hard liquor and eat plenty greens.
All right, fine. That'll be all.
And number three, that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from Alabama.
Alabama?
Or wherever.
See, Mr. Peabody, can we use one of your adventures on our record?
Bullwinkle, that part's all over long ago.
It is. I just got up here to the penthouse, you know.
Just got here?
I had to use the stairs.
Well, why didn't you use the elevator?
Because some dirty guy has stopped the elevator between floors and is charging the people $100 to get out.
Impossible. Who could do such a dirty trick?
Allow me to introduce myself. Boris Bedenov at your service. With my partner in crime, Natasha.
Hello, darlings.
If you'll excuse us, we're getting ready to make a record.
Of course, precisely why we are here. Natasha, hand me my balalaika. I'm Boris.
I'm Natasha.
We're no good mates through and through. So, darling, no good mates, we sing this song for you.
We ain't got no scruples when it comes to gaining our ends.
We were single, double and triple cross, our very closest friends. So come and sing our old school song, fellow no good mix, sing along. Ya-choo, ya-ya-ya, up with Boris Natasha. Ya-choo, walla-walla-bing, this is how no good mix sing. Once more from the top. Yachoo, yachoo, yachoo. What happened to the music?
Boris.
I got three more choruses to go.
Too late, darling. Music is over.
Why those...
But Boris, we are near the end.
Oh, good.
Good?
Of course. What I say after this is off the record.
legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him. You call me, chief?
Yeah, it's the dragon again, devouring maidens. The king's daughter may be next.
Mm-hmm. You got a lead?
Nothing much to go on. Say, did you take that .45 automatic into the lab to have him check on it?
Yeah. You were right.
I was right?
Yeah. It was a gun. 8:22 p.m. I talked to one of the maidens who had almost been devoured. Could I talk to you, ma'am?
Who are you?
I'm St. George, ma'am. Homicide, ma'am. I want to ask you a few questions, ma'am. I understand you were almost devoured by the man. Is that right, dragon?
It was terrible. He breathed fire on me. He banged me already.
How can I be sure of that, ma'am?
Believe me, I got it straight from the dragon's mouth.
11:45 p.m. I rode over the King's Highway. I saw a man. Stopped to talk to him. Pardon me, sir. Could I talk to you for just a minute, sir?
Sure, I don't mind.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a knave.
Didn't they pick you up on a 903 last year for stealing tarts?
Yeah? So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
No, sir. We heard there was a dragon operating in this neighborhood. We just want to know if you've seen him.
Sure, I've seen him.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe him for me?
What's to describe? You see one dragon, you've seen them all.
Would you try and remember, sir, just for the record? We just want to get the facts, sir.
Well, he was, you know, he had orange polka dots.
Yes, sir.
Purple feet, breathing fire and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And one big bloodshot eye right in the middle of his forehead, and, like that.
Notice anything unusual about him?
No, he's just a run-the-mill dragon, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, you can go now.
Hey, by the way, how are you going to catch him?
I thought you'd never ask. A dragon net. 3:05 p.m., I was riding back into the courtyard to make my report to the lab. Then it happened. It was a dragon.
Hey, I'm the fire-breathing dragon. You must be St. George, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you got one of them new 45 caliber swords.
That's about the size of it.
You slay me.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I'm taking in a 502. You figure it out.
What's the charge?
Devouring maidens out of season.
Out of season? You never pinned that rap on me. Do you hear me, cop?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you in a 412, too.
A 412? What's a 412?
Overacting. Let's go.
On September the 5th, the dragon was tried and convicted. His fire was put out, and his maiden devouring license revoked. Maiden devouring out of season is punishable by a term of not less than 50 or more than 300 years.
Oh, make that stop. Let's see here. The penultimate radio obituary. Yes, the penultimate radio obituary tonight is for Jackie Repellent. She was the bass player with the Repellents and also Musical Suicide. She formed the first women's hockey team in the city of Cincinnati. They were the Cincinnati Rising Stars. She was also immortalized by the book about women's hockey called Too Many Men on the Ice. Jackie Repellent just passed away at 54. It's the penultimate radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.